So, today we're discussing from the first canto, chapter 14, and there will be multiple verses from 6 to 8, actually. So this verse, which is on the board, Yudhishthira Uvacha, is actually not the one we're going to be discussing, because this verse doesn't have a purport to it. So the verse we're going to be discussing will be verse number 8. So, I don't know if it's time to redo it, but otherwise we can just continue. So I'm going to just recite verse 6 and 7 with translation, and verse 8, hopefully for those which have some devices with you, or otherwise we can just continue. Just chant what's on the board. Okay. Translation. Maharaj Yudhishthira said to his younger brother Bhimasen, I sent Arjuna to Dwaraka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna of his program of work. Hare Krishna. So this was verse number 6. I'm going to just recite 7 and then 8, and we go to the purport, because only verse 8 has a purport. Gata samta duna masa bhima sena tavarjuna nayati kasya vahetor naham veda dam anjasa. Translation. Since he departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I do not know factually how things are going there. Text 8. Api deva rishinadista saka loyam upastita yadatmano nigam akridam bhagavan uti shrikshati. Translation. Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes as Devarishi Narada indicated? Has that time already arrived? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Purport. As we have discussed many times, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Lord Shri Krishna has many planetary expansions, and each and every one of them, although equally powerful, executes different functions. In Bhagavad Gita, there are different statements by the Lord, and each of these statements is meant for different planetary portions or portions of the planetary portions. For example, Sri Krishna, the Lord, says in the Bhagavad Gita, whenever there is a decline in religious practice, or descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. That's Bhagavad Gita 4.7. To deliver the faithful, to annihilate the miscreants, and also to re-establish the principles of occupational duty, I appear in every age. 4.8 Bhagavad Gita. If I should cease to work, then all humanity will be misdirected. I would also be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all sentient beings. That's Bhagavad Gita 3.24. Whatever action a great man performs, a common man will follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Bhagavad Gita 3.21. All the above statements by the Lord apply to different planetary portions of the Lord, namely his expansions such as Sankarshan, Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Narayan. These are all himself in different transcendental expansions, and still the Lord as Sri Krishna functions in a different sphere of transcendental exchange with different grades of devotees. And yet Lord Krishna, as he appears once every 24 hours of Brahma's time, or after a lapse of 8,640,000,000 solar years, in each and every universe, and all his transcendental pastimes are displayed in each and every universe in a routine spool. But in that routine spool, the functions of Lord Krishna, Lord Vasudev, etc., are complex problems for the layman. There is no difference between the Lord's self and the Lord's transcendental body. The expansions execute differential activities. When the Lord, however, appears in his person as Lord Sri Krishna, his other planetary portions also join him by his inconceivable potency called Yoga Maya. And thus the Lord Krishna of Vrindavan is different from the Lord Krishna of Mathura or the Lord Krishna of Dwaraka. The Virat Rup of Lord Krishna is also different from him by his inconceivable potency. The Virat Rup exhibited on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is the material conception of his form. Therefore, it should be understood that when Lord Krishna was apparently killed by the bow and arrow of the hunter, the Lord left his so-called material body in the material world. The Lord is Kaivalya, and for him there is no difference between matter and spirit because everything is created from him. Therefore, his quitting one sort of body or accepting another body does not mean that he is like an ordinary living being. All such activities are simultaneously one and different by his inconceivable potency. When Maharaj Yudhishthira was lamenting the possibility of his disappearance, it was just in the pursuance of a custom of lamenting the disappearance of a great friend. But factually, the Lord never quits his transcendental body, as misconceived by less intelligent persons. Such less intelligent persons have been condemned by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita, and they are known as mudhas. That the Lord left his body means that he left again his planetary portions in the respective dhams, transcendental abodes, as he left his viradrup in the material world. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So thank you again for the opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees, Vaishnavas present here and online. Vanchakalpa Turupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So it's very interesting when I was reading this purport, it's kind of a two sections. The first section, I would like to ask you a question. There are these one, two, three, four verses from the Bhagavad Gita which Prabhupada quoted here. And I would like to know your thoughts. What is the common theme in these four verses? Because there is something there, and that will be kind of a point or theme of our conversation or discussion today. So I'll read them again. So Bhagavad Gita 4.7, whenever there is a decline in religious practices or descendant of Bharata and predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. 4.8, to deliver the faithful and to annihilate the miscreants and also to reestablish the principles of occupational duty, I appear in every age. 3.24, if I should cease to work, then all humanity will be misdirected. I would also be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all sentient beings. 3.21, whenever action a great man performs, common men will follow. And whenever the standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world will pursue. So any thoughts, what do you find kind of a common theme, like a thread going through all these four verses? Which Prabhupada is mentioning here. Yes? His purpose of appearance. Yes, very nice. Thank you. The humanity is dependent on the higher authority. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, Prabhu? Establishing Dharma. Setting an example, establishing Dharma. Yes, any other points? My understanding when I was meditating on this verse was all those points which you mentioned are valid. I was thinking, what about responsibility? Basically, it means dharma. Dharma means duty. Dharma means responsibility. I was very much inspired by yesterday's talk by Prayojana Prabhu, where he touched on the aspect of responsibility. So today I was thinking, let's just slightly kind of open that topic more, and let's discuss what actually responsibility for us as devotees, as Chaitanya Vaishnavas, as Prabhupada Nugas, what does that responsibility actually means? And what are the practical aspects of responsibility? So all of us in this world, ultimately from the moment we're born, we come to a certain age, and then it starts, the responsibility kicks in, right? You have to go to school. You have to have your crayons ready. All your, you know, paper needs to be done. You need to have nice bag. Everything needs to be there. You need to prepare yourself for next day of the school, right? Make sure that, you know, you have your lunch bag. So I remember I was not so much responsible when I was young. I was just like, whatever comes. But ultimately, even from very, very young age, responsibility literally kicks in. So there has to be a reason. There has to be a way. There has to be a reason why the world, why the material nature, why the prakriti is molding us in such a way. How the higher principles of, you know, universal manifestation, ultimately dharma, is molding us in such a way that we have to accept responsibility. So ultimately we understand that there are only two options in terms of responsibility or understanding. Option number one, you have material responsibility. You know, you have big position, you're a CEO, you own this shop, you own that place, you own this, you own that. Or even whatever it is, you always have responsibility. Even for people, those who want to start families, that means a responsibility. It means mother, father, means taking care of the children, means to have sufficient funds, you need this, you need that. Again, responsibility. In Krishna consciousness, our responsibility is what? It's towards someone, but based on what is the impetus for us to accept responsibility in Krishna consciousness. Why are you all of you here? Yes, Purujan Prabhu. Yes. Okay, so Prabhupada probably is saying that ultimately our mission is to preach, and what Prabhupada inherited from the previous acharyas is preaching mission. Yes. And another question is, why are you accepting this responsibility? You don't have to. Preaching is a very kind of a task which takes a lot of blood, pressure, sweat, tears. For those of you who have been doing Sankirtan, I'm sometimes questioning myself, you know, when it's rainy outside and windy and snowy and people are completely rejecting you and literally sometimes slap you in the face or spit in you. Like, why am I doing this? I mean, I don't need this. I don't need this in my life. I'm happy. I want to be happy. I don't need this burden on my shoulders. So the question for you now is, why are you doing it? What is that impetus for you to take that responsibility? Any takes? Yes, Jagat Priya Mataji? Can you have a mic?
But one thing is obviously you want to serve Prabhupada because, you know, you receive that thing and you don't take it back. You want to do something for him.
Yes. So for those online, Mataji mentioned that responsibility means that looking what Prabhupada did and feeling that on one hand compassion towards the living entities and on the other hand feeling that that burden that he went through so much. So I want to please him by that, by taking the same kind of a mission. Yes, so this is very important. And one thing which Mataji mentioned is relationship. Why would you do something which puts you into trouble if you don't have relationship with that person? So we are as much as Prabhupada Nugas as Rupa Nugas. We are followers of Rupa Goswami, we are followers of Prabhupada, and ultimately we are followers of Acharyas. And if you look on the life of the Acharyas, why they become acharyas? Why they become acharyas? Because simply they took that burden on themselves. They took that responsibility to share Krishna consciousness, to write literature, to build temples, to give people in general knowledge about Krishna. So this responsibility is not only a burden, but Prabhupada very often was referring to that as burden of love. Right? All of you, for those who've been in the stress for Krishna, for those of you who've been literally on the verge of, I don't know, being emotionally and physically drained for Krishna, in the end, in the last kind of a stages, is that ultimately this moment of complete surrender was actually very nectarian. I remember 2019 in the winter marathon, Sutapa Prabhu, he went on traveling Sankirtan. And somehow or another, myself and other devotees been kind of left here. And for duration of 1 month, I'm telling you, it was just the most exaggerated, not most difficult, excruciating month in my life. Every single morning, I was waking up with a headache. Like, okay, what I have to do now? Who will give me a call? What else has to be done? How many books we can distribute this day? Where should I go? So this month was the most difficult month for me. And every evening, I was falling asleep in a way that I was just sending text messages, WhatsApp messages, what will happen tomorrow. And for a period of 1 month, I was in complete anxiety. I lose some appetite. It was very difficult for me to eat. And it was just one big difficulty. But then, when the marathon finished, and somehow or another, we offered this course to Prabhupada, and it was quite a nice number. I think it was something around 73,000. Our goal was 77. That burden, which was really much kind of very heavy in the region of my heart, just went. Just very simply just disappeared. So we take that responsibility, and amongst all those difficulties, just like it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, in the mode of goodness, in the beginning, it's like a poison. Right? Why you should wake up, 4 a.m. in the morning, that's tastes like poison. Why you should really try to focus your mind constantly on the mantra, sometimes it's difficult, feels like poison. Why you should not eat when there's near Jala Ekadashi, why you should not drink, that is like poison. Why you should go outside and distribute books or go on Harinam when people look at you and just ridicule you all the time, for ego, that feels like poison. Why you should force yourself to do so many activities which are in the present age considered abnormal, that feels like poison. But actually, Krishna consciousness means having a vision, and that vision is based on intelligence. Intelligence is understanding that if I do something now, there will be a result. So intelligence and faith, these two aspects are very, very important in terms of responsibility. Why are you taking so much burden on yourself? Because you understand ultimately it will please someone. It will please Prabhupada, it will please your guru. So bhakti is not just a meditation. Prabhupada was stressing the point that bhakti is an activity. If your bhakti doesn't resolve in activity, then what's the use? If your bhakti doesn't help yourself and doesn't help others, then what's the use? If that same bhakti doesn't help you to kind of progress spiritually, then what's the use of such a bhakti? So bhakti is seen. In Prabhupada times, in India, there were these great Prakriti Sahajyas. So what these Sahajya devotees, so-called devotees, been doing, they've been jumping. They jump over the very difficult part of sadhana. They really jump straight away into so-called like prema. They straight away try to establish their svarup, their spiritual position. But we as a Chaitanya Vaishnavas, we understand that there is no such a way. There's only a hardcore way. Even in the Bible is mentioned that the path to the truth is very, narrow. And on the sides there are thorns, there are difficulties. That's what it means to be a sadhaka. To be a sadhaka means ultimately to find that gem, that diamond within you. It's already there, but what it takes just time and time again to kind of just to dig that diamond which is already there within you. Therefore, responsibility in Krishna consciousness is based on relationship, is based on intelligence, and is based on accepting that duty. So there are many different points, and one of the points was dharma. Dharma means kind of a contemplation and understanding who you are, where you're at, and the way how can you do justice to the system. How can you do justice to what you received? Once Srila Prabhupada was asked a very interesting question. Prabhupada, you gave us so much. You gave us so much in your life. Is there any possibility we can repay you? Does anyone know what Prabhupada answered? Prabhupada said, no, you can't. But you can try. So what we receive from our spiritual master is ultimately the greatest of boons, the greatest of blessings. But those blessings, they are ultimately there. But the question is, how are you going to be acting upon those blessings? I was once Once I witnessed a conversation between two senior Vaishnavas in our movement. I'm not going to mention the names. And one Vaishnava, he requested blessings from another Vaishnava. He said, please kindly give me the blessing so I can move forward in my ashram. I can accept more vanaprastha. And the another devotee, who was a sannyasi, he said, yes, you have my blessings. What are you going to do with them? And the another devotee was just struck, like, what do you mean? So, okay, you received the blessings. What are you going to do with these blessings? How are you going to act upon these blessings? Recently, I read this very wonderful commentary by Prabhupada. He said, if you follow four regulative principles, chant your 16 rounds, associate with Vaishnavas, study philosophy, all of the blessings of acharyas are present there. So it's not like, of course, we have to beg for, you know, permissions and blessings of others, but everything is already there. You have everything you need to be a pure devotee. Everything you need, you already have there. The question is, how are you going to be acting upon it? So the aspect of responsibility means understanding the blessings you have and acting upon them. So I'm not talking about responsibility that if you're not a GBC, then you're not responsible. If you're not a temple president, then you're not responsible. If you're not the bhakta leader, ashram leader, if you're not a mentor, if you're not a guru, that means you have no responsibility. No. Whatever seva you've been allocated, that's your responsibility. Do it in your best way you can. You've been allocated to the pot washing, do it the best of your ability. That is your responsibility. Make sure that every single spot there is just everything is clean. You've done a temple building cleaning, that's your responsibility. You're supposed to make garlands, that's your best responsibility. Do it in your best ability you can. Because Krishna doesn't look always on what you offer to him. Of course, we try to offer the best. But what Krishna looks is what you hold back. Right? You can be very rich and you can give thousands and thousands of pounds of donation. But how many millions you hold back? Right? You're a very intelligent person. You invest in a project. But how much you hold back? You have such a wonderful abilities of being such a wonderful cook. Why you cook only one preparation? So sometimes Krishna doesn't look always what you give, but what you're holding back. So responsibility means having good meditation, good consciousness, and giving everything. Because in the end of the life, once there was a psychological study, and they've been asking people on the deathbed. They've been saying, "What? Can you give us some guidance? Can you give us some wisdom? What is the, if you can give it in one sentence, what is your realization in your life?" And 90% of people, they've been saying, I don't regret things what I've done. I regret things which I haven't done. Right? I know you're tired. I know you give your best. But there is that small kind of inch, that one extra step which you can give. And I guarantee that will be the ultimate pleasure. So Krishna consciousness means about what you're holding back. How come you're holding yourself back? And responsibility means that you're doing your best to please your guru, doing your best to please Krishna. You can see in the life of Yudhishthira Maharaj, you can see in the life of the Pandavas. Here Yudhishthira Maharaj, he's king of the world. He's sitting in Hastinapur. He's surrounded by devotees. He's surrounded by all his brothers, by his loved ones. But what he's doing, he's lamenting. So we can apply it in our life. You are here in the Bhaktivedanta manner. You're doing your service nicely. But can I do more? Is this possible to do something extra? Right? So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was lamenting and he was inquiring from, he was revealing his mind in confidence to Bhima Sen. He said, I sent Arjuna 7 months ago to Dwaraka. There's no message. Nothing. I don't know nothing what's happening with Krishna. What is up to? What is my mission? How can I please Krishna more? I'm ruling the world, but does Krishna need anything extra from me? Does Krishna has any ideas, any plans? So this is distress of a pure devotee. Distress of a pure devotee is, I'm doing what I'm doing, but is there anything else I can do? So in this way, Yudhishthira was not only saying that I'm performing my dharma 100%, but what is the plan of Krishna? So in this way we can imply it in our life. I'm performing my duties nicely. I'm serving the deities. I'm serving the mission. But dear spiritual master, is there anything specific you want me to do? Is anything else you wish me to perform in your mission? Is anything else I can serve you? Once I asked Jadvaita Maharaj, and I was serving Jadvaita Maharaj, and I asked him, Maharaj, is there anything I can do for you? And he just looked at me and said, what do you want to do for me? You cannot do anything for me. Who are you? So straight away on the spot, I was just like, oh, Krishna, I've done a big boo-boo. So he was just looking at it just for a couple of minutes. He was just chastising me. He said, "What you cannot do anything. What abilities you have? You have nothing. You have nothing to give." And then Radha Govinda was next to me. He said, don't ask what you can do. Ask if you can serve. So I said, okay, Maharaj, is there anything I can serve you? And Maharaj said, yes. That's a good question. So the real question is, what can we do? We cannot do nothing. But how can we serve? That's the real question. So this is one point which I learned, that how can we serve to our capacity and what is the activity we can perform. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gonitai ki. So, and I would like to narrate one very beautiful pastime which I read now in the fifth canto. You can actually almost miss it. It's just like two verses. It's a very nice story, very nice pastime, and it's a contemplation of Bali Maharaj. So in this canto is a description of the lower planetary system, and one of the lords or masters of those systems is Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was actually, he was very much distressed, not for himself, but he was distressed for Indra. He was saying, you Indra, you haven't understood anything. You, Indra, you're no more than a fool. And who more is fool? Brihaspati, your prime minister in your court. And then he started explaining, Indra, you haven't understood the true duty, the true responsibility of a ruler. You call yourself king of heavens. But what you're king merely just by a word. Because you've been so distressed. You've been so much in a situation when all your material opulence was taken away by me, by providence. Me, Bali Maharaj, I took away from you the three planetary systems. These planetary systems, and you can rule them only by one lifespan of Manu. There's certain, some I don't know the exact number, by saying only for this period of time, you Indradev, you can so-called rule the universe as a king of heavens. So what you do, you've been so much in distress that you went on the shores of Swetadvip, on the milk ocean, and you've been glorifying, praying in distress to Vishnu. And Vishnu, all of his causeless mercy, what he done? He appeared as son of Aditi. Who is? One of the 12 sons of Aditi is Vamanadev, the brother of Indra. So when Vamanadev appeared in the gates of your kingdom, what have you done? You ask not for service. You haven't asked for shelter. You haven't asked for spiritual service. What you done, you instructed. You instructed Vamanadev, go and beg from Bali the three planetary systems and beg for him the material opulence which the Asuras taken away from us, which they taken away from me. So you, Indradev, you're a fool. When Vamanadev came to me, what I've done is, I ask, what can I do? How can I serve you? What can I give to you? Oh, Brahmana, what do you require from me? And when he asked for three steps, I haven't hesitated. I've been instructed by my spiritual master, by Shukracharya, don't listen to him. This is a trick of Vishnu. This is a trick of Supreme Personality Godhead. If you're going to give him this boon, what will happen is, you will get destroyed. So three personalities in this Leela have been mistaken. Indra, Shukracharya, and Brihaspati. Only one personality understood the true responsibility, the true Dharma, which was serve. So he understood not responsibility, dharmic responsibility. Dharmic responsibility is not always spiritual. Indradev, he was doing his dharma. He was doing, okay, I need to rule. I need to rule the planets. I need to rule this cosmos. That was dharma. But Bali understood bhakti. Bali understood. That's why he is a Mahajan. He's Mahajan not only by dakshina, not only by giving, but he's Mahajan of love. Because bhakti means whatever you have, you give. So in this context, we see that Bali didn't became so glorious because he gave such a magnanimous dakshina, but he became glorious because he haven't kept anything for himself. And then what happened? Vamanadev said, okay, he took two steps, the whole cosmos, and third step, where is it? Please place it on my head. And this is an indication that I gave material opulence, I gave my material dakshina, and the last dakshina which I keep is myself. Please accept that as well. So we can see that responsibility is not only what we see, what we perceive with our material eyes, what is always our duty, like, do this. Someone can tell you, okay, clean the temple room, right? You can do that, you can do it nicely, but you can take it further. You can do that extra step. And this extra step is the glory of true responsibility. It means not only do what I've been instructed. Prabhupada was instructed to go to Western world and preach in English. Right? His responsibility was to preach in English. What Prabhupada did? Prabhupada constructed temples. Prabhupada created farm communities. Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram system. Prabhupada initiated devotees. Prabhupada was describing so many books. Prabhupada was giving classes, lectures, philosophy. Prabhupada was teaching people how to cook, how to behave, how to act, how to develop a character. So what Prabhupada did, we have on computer, you have these zip folders, right? So what happens, you unzip it, and then you have so many things just popping out. Out of one thing, one instruction, Prabhupada took it and Prabhupada expanded it. So this is responsibility. Responsibility means you receive instruction, you do your best, but do even more. That is true responsibility from the perspective of bhakti. And this is what it means to be a pure devotee, that you receive instruction and you take it further. You take it to the next step, you take it to another level. So this is one thing which I wanted to talk about, and that's from the first half of the purport. Another point is, and I'll open it up, I have one question for you which I couldn't answer, and I felt a bit kind of unease, and I didn't know what to think about this statement by Prabhupada. There is mention in this purport that Krishna is different according to his pastimes. We know Krishna's got many amsas, many planetary portions, many portions of the planet portions. So who's the real Krishna? Which Krishna is the real Krishna? Right? Is it Krishna Vasudev Krishna? Is it Dwarakadish Krishna? Which Krishna is it? Is it Krishna from Kurukshetra? The acharyas are stressing one point and one point only. Krishna of Vrindavan is the Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna of Vrindavan. O descendant of Rishni, I am Vasudev, and of the Pandavas I am Arjuna. Of the sages I am Vyas, and among the great thinkers I am Usana. So when he said, amongst the descendants of Rishni I am Vasudev, in the purport Prabhupada refers to this is Balaram, Vasudev. This is Balaram, his first planetary expansion. Then CC Antya Leela 167 is said, the Krishna known as Yadu Kumar is Vasudev Krishna. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadu Kumar Krishna manifests his pastimes in the cities of Mathura and Dwaraka. But Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any times leaves Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So the acharyas are saying that, okay, how this happened? Let me tell you one pastime. Akrura. Akrura means the one who's not cruel. Krura means cruelty, and Akrura means the one who's not cruel. When Akrura entered Vrindavan, and he went in the assembly of Nanda Maharaj, where Krishna was playing, he said, Krishna, the time has come. You came for one reason. The reason is, When there's decline of irreligion, you have to come. Faithful, those which are faithful being harassed, the demons being pervading the planet, what are you going to do about it? And Krishna said, now at this spot, at this time, I'm going. I had so much fun in Vrindavan. Every single time I've been with the Vrijabasis, I've been enjoying myself. But those people in Mathura, those people in Dwaraka, and those people around the globe are suffering. Now is the time for me to enhance the pastimes, to go further. So when the gopis been approaching Akrura, they're saying, you are the messenger of Yamaraj. You know why? The messengers of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, what they do, they come and they separate the body from the soul. They took the soul and left the body behind, led the body to die and to suffer. Gopi's been saying that you are a messenger of Yamaraj because you are taking our soul. You are taking Krishna and Vrindavan is the body. How dare you? You call yourself not cruel, you are the cruelest of the cruelest. Akrura, you are Krura. You are very cruel. What Akrura done, he with tears in his eyes, and he saw the separation of the gopis and Vrijabasis, he took Krishna and Balaram. On the edge of Vrindavan, somewhere or another, Akrura decided to have a purification bath. So what he said? Okay, let me bath quickly in Yamuna. He secured Krishna Balaram on the, on the chariot, and he started taking the bath. The meditation of Akrura is, Vishnu is my supreme. He had this Diksha mantra which he was chanting, and that Diksha mantra was relating to Ananta Shesh and Vishnu. When he took first dip he took in the banks of Yamuna, in the river of Yamuna, he starts seeing, oh my goodness, this is Ananta Shesh. And who's on that Ananta Shesh? That's Vishnu. And he saw how this Ananta Shesh and Vishnu transform in Krishna Balaram. But then he was disturbed. He went back to the chariot and he saw Krishna Balaram sitting on a chariot, saying, what's happening? What is this? What does this mean? Then he understood. Ananta Shesh and Vishnu are my worshipable deities, but everything emanates from Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate avatari and he never leaves Vrindavan. He stays in Vrindavan in the minds of the Vaishnavas, in the hearts of the Vaishnavas, in every groove, in every bush, in every tree, in every step, that is Krishna. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, and Krishna manifests himself in the hearts of the Vrijabasis. What Akrura took with himself to Mathura was Vasudev Krishna, and Ananta Shesh in the form of Balaram. So Krishna never leaves, and that we should understand. That whatever planetary portions and portions of planetary portions or portions of those planetary portions, that's coming from Balaram, from his first expansion. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And every tree in Vrindavan, everything we see in Vrindavan, that is manifestation of Krishna. If we can see it or not see it, Krishna is there in Vrindavan. Brahma, in one of his prayers, he established that your ultimate abode is Goloka Vrindavan, and you never leave that abode. You manifest that abode in different locations, but you never leave that abode. So there are these two points, and just to do a quick recap, and yeah, one of the last questions which I have for you, and please share this with me. Prabhupada is saying his planetary portions in the respective dhammas, transcendental abodes, as he left his Viradrup in the material world. The Lord left his body means that he left again his plenary portions in the respective dhammas as he left his Viradrup in the material world. If anyone has any take on this, how come that Krishna leaves some of his portions and then he leaves? I didn't understand this point. But otherwise, just to do a quick recap, we spoke about responsibility. That true responsibility means taking to Krishna consciousness and doing that extra step to please Guru and Gauranga. And the second point we've been discussing today was how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan and how everything else which manifests as his avatar is expansion. It's avatar rather than avatari. But the ultimate source of all those avatars never leaves his abode, Vrindavan. If there are any questions, any points, any comments, please share them now. If we can have Mike first, the ladies, please.
No, I mean, about this Virat Rupa form. I mean, if Krishna wouldn't leave the Virat Rupa form here, would it not mean he would have annihilated the world? I mean, his Virat Rupa is here, so everything is manifested, so it must be here then.
So you're saying that Virat Rupa kind of pervades or kind of holds the universe together? You said that if...
Everything would have been devastated, is my understanding. I don't know.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry. Any other points?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the really wonderful class. I had a thought about taking on responsibility, and I was thinking about how actually when you take on more responsibility, like you were saying, it's pleasing to the spiritual master. And also, I think because, you know, when you're in the stretch zone and you're kind of maybe taking on a bit more than your mind thinks you can do, and this actually also helps you to surrender more and to pray more and to surrender to the spiritual master. And then in that way, you feel more connected because you can see that actually I'm not capable of doing this, but somehow by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, you know, I'm getting the strength. So I think that's also a really nice point about taking on responsibility. And even if the mind is saying, no, I can't do it, there's no way, I'm not qualified. You know, essentially, we're never qualified, and it's all from the spiritual master. So I just, that was a reflection.
Thank you. That. Yes, very good point. Ultimately, you're limiting Krishna and his potency, saying that I'm not able to do something, I'm not able to do that, not able to do that. If Guru instructs, by you stepping out of your comfort zone and following the instruction of Guru, the empowerment naturally follows. In the material world, it works like this. First, I have to be powerful, then I start, you know, being active. But in the spiritual world, it's different. First, I'm going to start the activity, and somehow or another, on the way, I receive the empowerment. So that's the beauty of KC, right? You do stuff, and the magic will happen. Thank you for that. Any other points, questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. So it was the last sentence of the purport that you were asking about. That the Lord left his body means that he left again his plenary portions in the respective dharms, transcendental abodes, as he left his Virat Rupa in the material world. So what I was thinking is that it's in the respective dharms, the transcendental abodes. So in the Bumbha Vrindavan or in the temple where the Lord is worshipped properly, that's a dham. Mm-hmm. So the deities are his plenary portions. Mm-hmm. So he's left them. You know, that's one thought I had about it.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Krishna leaves his expansions as Archa Vigra, that we can kind of worship him, which is no different from Krishna himself. Okay, thank you. Yes, Purjana Prabhu.
Prabhupada was asked the question by one of his disciples. It was a Los Angeles lecture, and it's a wonderful lecture, actually. But the mother, she said, Prabhupada, are you in Vrindavan? And he said, pardon? Are you in Vrindavan? He said, he says, yes. And she said, what do you mean? He says, actually, he says, like you, what you are all doing, you are in New York City, in your bodies, but your activities and your meditations, they are of Krishna activities. So he says, you too. Likewise, for myself, though I'm in New York City as the body is in New York City, I am in Vrindavan because my activities are Krishna conscious activities of Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. So in this way, like you, all of you, you are all in Vrindavan. Your activities and what you're doing are in Vrindavan. So this is how, so he encouraged them in such a way that he says, you are also in Vrindavan because you're carrying out the activities of Krishna consciousness. Wherever you are, this is Vrindavan. Okay, so.
Thank you for that comment, Prabhu.
Okay.
Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai.